Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine. We're on episode 309. Hi, happy Friday. I hope you all are doing well. I am feeling a little under the weather. I don't know what happened. I hate when I'm in the middle of my day and all of a sudden, you know how you know your body and you know something's off. Suddenly it just hit me. Well, not at this moment, but a few hours ago when I was at work, and it's just so annoying. I hate getting sick. I hate feeling like I have to be still or, you know, just not continue with my plans for the day. So hopefully I could get this in order. My throat was just feeling really, really scratchy, and I'm doing my best to push through. So here we are. Hope everyone is feeling well and better than me, at least. So let's go ahead and get into it. Tyrese. First, I want to pause and give a disclaimer because for those who may not know, I was Team Tyrese from the very beginning. I sympathize for that man. I felt sorry that his ex-wife totally fooled him and made him fall victim to her instantaneous tomfoolery. Like, I felt like she wasn't who she claimed she was and finally took her mask off. He introduced her as his Black queen, though she was completely ambiguous racially, but you know, there's that. I know a lot of people are, you could be Black and not look Black, but like, don't call someone your Black queen if she looks nothing like a Black queen. Anyway, shout out to Tyrese for that. But he described her as this very frugal, very non-materialistic woman, very humble and just establishing her own rights. Apparently she was a therapist or is a therapist and is making over six figures. Like, she has her own, quote unquote. And all the times that she would go shopping, or not even shopping, but like, you know, Target, there were times when she would like cry out to him saying, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I spent $200 at Target. And now $200 for a lame person, you know, like me and you will be like, I didn't have 200. But sometimes Target, there's a spell. Target has something going on. There is an energy in that store. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not lying. Okay, there is something going on in Target that begs for you to spend over $100 when you just came in to grab some leggings and some socks. Next thing you know, you got an ottoman, an end table, a case of water, when ultimately you really shouldn't be going grocery shopping at a store that's not exclusively for groceries. You know what I mean? There was a recent report I heard of Walmart getting recalls done for grocery items such as steak and other types of meat, saying that something about the meat that they were selling for that particular time period was unhealthy and it shouldn't have been sold. It shouldn't have been made available to be sold. Yet, obviously, a lot of people got some stuff from Walmart. So anyway, the point is, you shouldn't be buying your cabbage from the same place you get your tires. Like, what? Go to an actual grocery store that's exclusive for grocery shopping. Go to a farmer's market. Anyway, that's just my disclaimer for that. But anyway, yeah, I was Team Tyrese. And I am still Team Tyrese. You know, I am a pick me Isha. It's a joke. But ultimately, I felt for him. I felt like he got the short end of the stick. And I do feel sorry for the men out here who are suddenly blindsided by the women they marry or the women they procreate with. And suddenly that woman does a whole 180. So I think for someone like him, it's hard to find a woman who is authentic, probably because he has a lot of money. He has that Fast and Furious money. He has that endless blockbuster money. So though she was doing well for herself, a woman who's making six figures, that's pretty awesome. But compared to a man who has millions upon millions of dollars and access to X, Y, and Z and luxury after luxury, what's a six-figure check? You know, so it's totally different. So he was blindsided by her. She suddenly divorced him while he was out filming a role for a movie. And he was taken aback by her instantaneous desire to leave him. And not even just a desire. It was so short-lived. Like, it was like, nope, I changed my mind. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I want primary custody and I want all your money. I want you to take care of me for the rest of our years, you know, as the child, as the mother of your child. And that's it. And it sucks because the court system is not set up for the success of Black men, period. No matter how much you want to try to say, oh, we live in a just society, or I don't know who says that, but ultimately, the court system is not in favor or in support of Black men at all, at all. Even if the woman has proven herself to be unstable, unsuited for just a well-to-do mother. The father, the Black dad especially, you have no shot. So it's really unfortunate. So they go through this divorce. Their divorce is finalized. I think they only were married for about 2 years, 2-3 years, maybe 4 years. That has to be the max. But they get married, they suddenly get a divorce due to her desire to just want to no longer be married to him. Literally, there was no substantiated reason. And come to find out, it was true. She admitted it herself that she was listening to her friends who probably were single at the time telling her, yeah, girl, you should go ahead and leave him, just take his money, yada, yada, yada. She was listening to all of that and fell victim to the pressure of her single friends wanting for her to be single like them. You know, sometimes when you have some friends who are not true and genuine, you can be victimized by their loneliness and their desire to break up your home because they don't have a home to go to. So there's that. So she fell victim to that. She admitted to it. She shares it on her YouTube channel. She actually is a YouTuber herself. She's more of the red pill community of YouTube. So she's the community who tells women how to be better for your man, and you know, here's how women should be, and just kind of like, it's just very ironic, very, very ironic. Anyway, Tyrese has been very vocal about how they are going through this custody battle and this battle of child support, and how he feels very strongly about not wanting to pay her an unreasonable amount of child support, because why does our 3-year-old, I think she's probably 3 now, why does she need $50,000 a month to survive? Like, she's three. And he makes a lot of reasonable sense. Like, he makes sense completely. But I think because people just assume that celebrities, they got it, then what is it to you? And if you've already introduced this child to this lifestyle or whatever that means, then why take it away from the child? It's all these like bullshit reasons that people like to say, but it's excuses. No 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old needs $50,000 a month in child support. Like, what are we talking about? Like, cut it out. I don't care how much money the father makes. It's not needed, so it should not be mandated. And let's be very honest here. Oftentimes, the woman who requests child support, that money is not solely going to the child. That money is also paying for the mother's trips to Cancun or the payment of this bag or this car note, or like, it's not going exclusively to the child. And I think if the parents were sharing custody, then that's more of a reason why you don't need to have this exorbitant amount of money. Okay, so I want to go ahead and play this clip of him calling out freeloading baby mamas. That's how he calls them. And he makes it very clear that this right here is not what he is ever going to be okay with. You are not going to play me. And again, I am still Team Tyrese. I think, though, what needs to happen is some accountability. You know, like, why can't we also recognize that you probably fucked up in your choice of marrying such a woman? Your discernment was off. And for someone like him who swears he's so close with Jesus Christ, where was that discernment? You know, like, where was that clarity that was obviously needed to make the proper decision? I just don't get it. I really don't understand it. So he's going off, and the thing about him, he makes himself out to be the victim all the time. And yes, technically he is being victimized by the court and by his ex-wife / child's mother of his youngest child. Yes, that is all true. But I still think, though, I just feel like it's unbecoming of a man at his age. It's just so cringe to watch how he is behaving and acting, especially because he is now in a new relationship. He is now in a new relationship with a new woman who he's been with since the divorce of his last marriage. So I'm wondering, with this new woman, I wonder if she's like, okay, babe, enough. Like, I know I would feel so annoyed. I probably would not be okay. Not even probably, I wouldn't. I would not be okay with you constantly coming online crying about this ex-wife. We get it. She's a gold digger. We get it. You got duped. The story ends now. Like, figure that shit out in the court system and, you know, figure that out. But what are we talking about right now? Let's go ahead and take a look and listen.
Welcome back to My Husband Is My Best.
Who have financial hardships.
Oh, God. Right here.
In the beginning, it's time poverty and have
while giving advice to people with financial hardships.
I wanted to really jump on and have a real conversation. Poverty has been in your family from the beginning. It's time to break the chains. It's time to get off the pity party and stop feeling sorry for yourself. You think you're the only one who had to bury family members, mother? I did too. You think you're the only one who's been having their money to go up and down because the economy, SAG strike, writer's strike, all kind of shit going on. You got to get up, bruh, and you got to go get it. You think you're the only one who lost family? Had to bury cousins, friends.
Okay, I don't think this is the part that I'm talking about. Hold on. I know it's in this video, though, so I'm trying to find out. Let's see.
And one phone call after the next with people that I know had 50 million times more money than me. Nobody showed up for me financially. And that was that reality. Like, they love me while the champagne is flowing. But when it's time for you to step in and actually have my back, because I'm the person who never asks anybody for anything, I'm about to lose it all.
Well, hold on. Hold on then, Tyrese. You did ask Will and Jada for some money. Let's not forget about that. Black tie. Black tie. Did you forget? I remember he went on Instagram Live talking about Will, Jada, let me hold $5 million. So please cut it out.
They would sit there and watch me do it. I wanted to jump on this phone right now and encourage somebody. Get off the fucking pity potty. Wipe your ass, whether it's regular tissue or baby wipes. Get off the pity potty. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop inviting people over to wipe your tears and play on their emotions and manipulate them.
Okay, I mean, this is ironic, no? He's telling people to stop having a pity party, but he comes on this very live having a pity party about his ex-wife.
And bring them in. Well, what's wrong? Now, I'm not being belittling. I just want y'all to know the shit that you crying about happened 6 months ago. What exactly is the excuse for you still?
Huh? I'm laughing because he was just on live ranting about his ex-wife, going on interview after interview, sharing his pain about the demise of their marriage. He really took that marriage seriously, has, you know, one would, is understandable. So for him to feel dismissive about other people experiencing something similar and being in their quote unquote pity party, I find that to be very ironic. Like, okay. Okay.
Still being down and in that dark place. You go into church. But are you allowing the word of God to actually get on you? Are you looking at this video right now saying, man, he's talking to me right now? And what are you going to do about it? I don't need an offering. I don't need y'all to put no money in the basket. I'm not asking y'all for money for the building fund. I'm saying I'm worried about you. You got kids, bro. You got kids. You have a child or you have kids. You have children.
Be sure to like, share, and subscribe.
Hold on.
I'm always and have always took care of mine.
Okay, this is a part.
You gonna leave me? And you wanna take my life with you? That's not happening.
This is the part right here. This is when he is telling us about his feeling about his ex-wife. Okay? He's saying, you're going to leave me, you're going to take my life with you. Initially, when I heard that part, I thought he meant like, you were my life. You know, our marriage was my life. And you leaving me took my life away. I thought that's what he meant. You know, considering he's a artist. He's an artist and he's so good with his words and he's a singer. You know, I just felt like he was being metaphoric in that moment. But now, as I'm listening back, I think he literally meant you leave me and you're taking my life, my lifestyle, the way that I've been living before you came into my life, you still want to reap the benefits of that while not with me anymore. That's what I think he meant. That's what I think he means.
I'm gonna fight you to the end of the earth. But as far as what mine need, they gonna have more than enough. It's not my job to take care of you and your life and go lavish your lifestyle and you decided to leave me. You gonna sit across from your new boyfriend, your new fiance, your new husband, and be pimping off my money?
Not new boyfriend. Not new fiance. This man is letting her have it. And look, again, I get it, Tyrese. I get it. Fuck. I get it. But man, what is going on in the court system? And I don't know. Look, I don't want to come off like I don't want men to not be expressive and emotional, but I don't want you to be expressive and emotional. I don't want to see you on live doing this shit. Okay? I don't. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry. I feel for you. I'm still on your team. I empathize for you. I feel like you got duped, and it's very unfortunate. As the wind blows. People get duped all the time, nigga. Like, am I being insensitive right now? No. I've had enough. And I think he needs to put this energy in the courts. Put this energy in the strategizing, in the what he just said earlier about how he's going to fight to the end to make sure that she, his ex-wife, does not take his life with her now that she's no longer his wife. That's very fair, but unfortunately, this is just how the society is set up. You know, there's no way, like, that is why there's a thing called alimony, there's a thing called child support. You know, it's about the ex-partner, the ex-spouse, still living off of the lifestyle that they had. Though it was a short period, you know, relatively it was short. It wasn't no more than 4 years. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles, Ty. Black Ty.
While this laying up in something that I'm paying for and driving around in and dinners and vacations that I'm paying for, I'm not doing it. But pertaining to my child or my children, they're going to always have more than what they need. I'm talking about those of you who are running around here broken up and refuse to do whatever it takes to get it. Refuse to step your shit up.
There he has it. Look, his message isn't wrong. It isn't. But I don't know. I just feel like there has to be a way for him to fight this in a way that is in his favor rather than to us. You know how people be like, you know, you make your move silently. Like, don't tell people the goals that you have for yourself necessarily. And I hate to sound negative in that sense, but like, not everyone is rooting for you. Not everyone is your friend. Not everyone gives a fuck for real. I know that sounds so pessimistic, but this is just how I was raised and conditioned to believe. And I still believe it. I really do. I feel like not everyone is here for it. It really, no, I don't think it. Some people have jealous feelings or thoughts because maybe they want a certain thing that you already have. And you telling or sharing out loud more goals and more opportunities to excel yourself, it could lead down a path of obstacles because someone could be praying for your downfall. So when I think about Tyrese sharing all of this with us consistently, I feel like the energy that he's giving out is not going to be, it's not going to be well received. Like, he's not going to receive energy that he needs to continue this quote unquote fight. He needs to just keep this silent, keep it within a small group and kind of go from there. But, you know, God bless. I wish him well. You know, I'm still black tie over here. I'm still black tie, but child, I don't know. Poor guy. Let's continue with this theme though. Let's talk about yet another man, another black man who picked the wrong woman. Hello? Is my mic on? Let's talk about another black man who picked the wrong woman. Cause I'm your woman. I'm your woman. I'm your woman. Shout out to Selena Johnson. I was watching this video of hers on YouTube. She was performing on a porch. She was singing all of her hits. It's like this new version of Tiny Desk. Is it Tiny Red Desk? Yeah, Tiny Desk. And I guess it's the black version of it too, because they're literally on a porch, like literally on a porch at a regular house that a lot of us have seen in the city, in any city, whether you're in a Boston city or like whether you're in Boston or New York or Philly or Chicago, you've seen these types of homes. And she was singing her ass off. So shout out to Selena Johnson. I love that song. I'm your woman, woman. Okay. Where was I? Okay, so Jeezy is the black man I am referring to here. He was recently married to who? Jeannie Mai. And they had Instagram, Twitter on lock, even YouTube, because they had their own channel, right? I think she actually became more of an influencer while she was seeing him. And I think it was an opportune time to do so. Why? Here's my conspiracy hat. Because she's an Asian woman, Asian American woman. He's a black man. You see them intertwining their lives. He's introducing to her his lifestyle, how he was raised. Where's he from? Detroit? Where's he from? Hold on, let me look it up. He's from Atlanta. My bad. Whoop. No disrespect, Atlanteans. But actually, no, technically he's from Columbia, South Carolina. But I believe he grew up in, yeah, Georgia. Yeah, he's from Atlanta. So he is introducing to her his life, you know, black food, his black mama, his black daddy, like the whole nine. And she's obviously introducing to him her Asian upbringing. She has this channel with her mom. I think it's called like Okay Honey. And it's actually, it was a cute channel. But they share recipes, stories, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, you see their lives intertwine. And one thing about social media is we love, at least the algorithm loves to see interracial couples. I don't know, something about it. It's one thing to see an all-black couple, like a black family type of couple, but seeing an interracial couple, something about it for the algorithm loves to see it, specifically an Asian woman with a black man and a white man with a black woman. I've noticed that gets a lot of hits. Like, if you are listening to this, you are in a relationship with someone who is white and you're a black woman, you know, or go ahead and create a YouTube account. Go ahead and create a TikTok page and quit your job right now. The algorithm will love you. I promise you. Something about it. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's true. It's very much true. So anyway, they started their whole YouTube content creation channel. They got married. They had their beautiful child. Very, very cute baby. Then they got a divorce. And just like that, shout out to Sex and the City. And just like that, they got a divorce. And just like that, that shit was over. And it was over so much so that it made you wonder, was this all a scam? Was this real? Did these people actually love each other? And what was quite surprising from their divorce, because I think it's official now, but it's still fairly recent. What was quite surprising is Jeezy was the one who filed. And, you know, I don't know if this is as clear to everyone, but when a man files for divorce, apparently it's more of a big deal because typically men stay in relationships far too long. Let me say that again. Typically men stay in relationships far too long. So for him to file, it makes you wonder, huh? What was the tipping point? What happened? There were a lot of reports saying it could have been because of just their cultural differences. Her being Asian, him being Black, which like, okay, y'all didn't know that before y'all got married. Y'all didn't know each other was of different races and different cultural backgrounds, but okay. But you know, it's always different whenever a child gets involved. But that was natural. Like, obviously a child may get involved if you're having sex. What are we talking about? But you know what was so funny? Jeannie was married prior. And when she was married to her ex-husband, she said time after time, she did not want to have children. She does not see herself as a mother. That is not her ministry. And that marriage ended in divorce because though initially they were on the same page of not wanting children, he changed his mind. He's like, you know, I really do want a child. I do want a baby of my own. So they ended up getting a divorce. And for her to now decide to have a baby with Jeezy, it was just quite interesting because, hey, just not too long ago, you say you didn't want a kid. But I think it just really proves the fact that oftentimes when people say, I don't want to get married or I don't want to have children, sometimes the silent saying at the end of that is with you. I don't want to marry you. I don't want to have children with you. Or, you know, I just don't see myself procreating with you. I don't see myself doing this lockdown marriage with you. And until you see yourself with someone who you can have children with, who you can be married to, then it'll be easy to say, yeah, absolutely, I want to have your babies. I want to have your babies right now. Get me pregnant right now. God damn. TikTok. Okay, so she gets pregnant. She has her first child. And it's a beautiful love story. You have this interracial couple. This is America. Yay. 2024. But this happened like 2023, 2022, around that time. Okay, cool. So they get a divorce. A lot of rumors were of the cultural differences and how Jeannie allowed her brother and her mother to stay in their marital home. And this was allegedly a point of contention. And maybe this is common for Asian households to have generations in their home, in one home, especially being that they have a young child. This probably helped with the raising of that child to have it in the hands of a trusted family member. So I think maybe initially Jeezy was okay with Jeannie Mai having her mother and her brother in the home. You know, that probably helped with babysitting X, Y, and Z. But maybe after a while, they got tiresome. Like, look, I want to walk around with my dick out. And your mother's still here. She's on the couch. Like, that's not going to work. And, you know, I think that is reasonable. But I figure, and again, this is someone, I'm speaking from the outside in, but I could assume that they probably have a big enough house where there's probably different endpoints in the house. Like maybe the mother could just stay in the West Wing and you're in the East. Or maybe there's a guest house on this property and that's where your mother stays. And y'all could come together Monday nights and have dinner together as a whole family. But you know, like there's space to have space. So that's what I would assume. But nonetheless, it's still your house. And if you don't want anyone to stay past a certain time period, I think that's reasonable. So that was one of the conspiracies, one of the rumors as to what led to their divorce. I think ultimately what was filed was irreconcilable differences. So, you know, it is what it is. But for the man to file, it does say a lot. Another thing that probably was one of the reasons why he filed, Jeannie has made it very clear that she has had a hot temper, a dragon. I think that's what she called it, a dragon. She had a very hot temper in her intimate relationships with her ex-husband. She had this hot temper with, and he would just accept it. He would just let her be disrespectful and angry and wild out and probably throw things. I don't know how her hot temper manifested itself, but nonetheless, it was hot enough. And maybe I didn't say this earlier, but her ex-husband is a white man. So maybe he lacked the discipline and the assertiveness to really shut that shit down. But Jeezy, a black man, is going to shut that shit down. He's going to be like, oh, absolutely. You better, who the fuck you talking? You know, he's going to shut that shit down. Reasonably so, understandably so, rightfully so, as he should. So maybe there was just one too many arguments she started. She lashed out. She ended in a way that was completely disrespectful. And he said to her, talk to me like that one more time and I'm out. And she tried it one more time and he was out. Because she said herself she was blindsided by this divorce and his filing. She was literally just shouting him out a few days prior on Instagram because he released a book of his life. And for him to file like a few days later, my God, today, that's laughable. But you know, God bless. Anyway, he has filed for primary custody. Yes, Jeezy is not playing. My God, today. He is filing for primary custody of his and Jeannie Mai's 2-year-old daughter amid their ongoing divorce. So they are still in the throes of their divorce. They're not officially divorced yet because they obviously haven't come to a settlement that is agreed upon between both parties. And I do remember reading a report previously of her wanting a certain amount of money from him in child support and alimony, and he was not budging. Shout out to Tyrese. So, look, I am here for these men standing up for themselves, but here's the difference. You don't see Jeezy on live ranting and raving about Jeannie Mai. He's just letting it happen in the courts. That's how it should be. Let the courthouse hear what's going on, not us. Let me go ahead and just figure it out myself. But let that happen. Jeezy is seeking primary custody of his and Jeannie Mai's 2-year-old daughter amid their ongoing divorce. Jeezy filed for custody and did this literally yesterday, the April 10th. At the time of this recording, just make that clear. He claimed he wanted to amend his and his ex's custody agreement because the toddler wants to live with her dad full time due to Mai's busy schedule. See what's happening here? I think what he's doing, first of all, the daughter is 2 years old. Not to say that kids can't speak up for themselves or, you know what they want, but I think sometimes, not even sometimes, all the time, kids say one thing and then they say something totally different tomorrow. I like you better than mom. And then I like dad better than you. Why? Because I let you have popcorn before dinner. Why? Because we went to the park twice today. Like, like, it's just, these kids don't know what the fuck they're talking about. So him, quote unquote, blaming the kid, making it seem like the kid is saying, I never see mom. Mom is so busy with her schedule. I want to live with dad. Like, this two-year-old is saying, what? Does this two-year-old even know how to say schedule? But look, if this is true, you know, if this is the case, if the child really has expressed time and time again that she is not seeing mom enough and wants to live with dad, then I think this is a fair filing from Jeezy. And it says here that Jeezy alleged that he agreed to move into the basement of his and Mai's home. And let's see, but the moved out of the house and took their daughter with her per their outlet. Let's see. Okay. So it says here that he alleged to agree to move into the basement of the home that he shares with Jeannie Mai while they were married. They still are married. And moved out of the house and took their daughter with her per their outlet. I'm kind of confused with that. After Mai moved out, okay, so Jeannie Mai moved out, Jeezy claimed that Mai's brother and mother were the ones primarily caring for his daughter. Okay, he shared that he believed Mai's current schedule isn't good for their daughter and that their little one would benefit from living with her dad full time. Okay, so there's that. I think that's better. Because the way that it started off in the beginning was as if the daughter was the one who clearly articulated, mom is always busy with her busy schedule. Like, and look, maybe she did in her own like two-year-old way, but like, I doubt it. I think ultimately what it is Jeezy picking up this point after that point and realizing, oh, Jeannie Mai is barely here and she can't take care of our daughter as well as she thinks she can. And it's better for me to have her full time. Now, you know, of course, this is obviously a hurtful experience for any mother to now lose custody, primary custody of the child that you gave birth to. But bitch, if you're busy, then I mean, maybe it's for the best. What the fuck are we talking about? If you're busy, give the baby to the dad. I know you guys are mad at each other. I know you're going through a divorce, but it's just so, it sucks when the child has to be the one suffering between these adult ass parents. Figure it out. Give the child to the one who's less busy. And if Jeezy's not touring right now, if he is sitting at his house, feet up in the air, and he wants primary custody of the child, then so be it. Like, why is that an issue? Now, you may say, okay, why don't they just share custody? Sharing the custody is a lot of inconvenience because they're not living in the same space. They may not even, I think Jeannie Mai is actually traveling a lot more with her schedule. You know, she is a personality on TV. And with that job, you often find yourself in different areas. You're flying out to this area or that area, and you're taking your two-year-old child with you all the time. That doesn't make sense. And it's clear that she's obviously traveling a lot with her busy schedule, because apparently her brother and her mother were the ones primarily caring for his daughter. Child, pick me, Isha. Give the baby to the daddy. Cut it out. Cut it out. If he wants the baby full time while you go figure out your career, he's not saying that you should never have access to our daughter. But he is saying, hey, look, let me just go ahead and handle this one right here. Child, I'm in support of it. So there we have it. Jeezy is saying, this is my child. I want to raise his child exclusively. Speaking of black men, I mean, this is a black man. Jonathan Majors is not getting jail time. Are we surprised? I am happy. I'm glad that this is the case. I think this shouldn't have even been a big ass deal, because there was video that proved he was getting beat on and chased by this white woman. There was evidence upon evidence that he was getting hurt by this white woman. Okay, there's literally surveillance video of him running in the streets of New York, running away from this white woman of his. Okay, she's literally trying to slice him with her hands and just beat him up. So for him to have gone through this whole ordeal in the courts and to have lost the deals and businesses that he was with, I just find that to be such an insult. I find it to be so insulting. I really do. Because he didn't get jail time. And it's not to say I wanted him to get jail time. I just feel like doing all of that, making him lose all of his opportunities just to order him to get year-long counseling. That was his sentencing, you guys. So he was found guilty, which was ridiculous. But he was found guilty for one of the counts. The other counts, I think he was just found not guilty for. But the one that he was found guilty for, his sentence, quote unquote, is completing a year-long counseling program. What? He has to also continue with the mental health therapy his lawyers say he's been participating in. So that's cool. And he also has to have no contact with his lying ex-girlfriend, Grace Jabari. Even though he was defending himself from her attacks, he was guilty to many. Jonathan was dropped from lucrative deals, from tie-ups with Texas Rangers, the U.S. Army, and Valentino, to film and TV roles with Walt Disney and the Marvel franchise. So it's just very unfortunate that he now has to pick himself up and start over. But he's not the first black man, any man in Hollywood, to have gone through what he's gone through. I've been on his side from the very beginning. I mean, this is a male-centered podcast, is it not? This is a male-centered, I am male-identified, all that bullshit-ass term y'all feminists like to say. But no, what's right is right. I think this is I'm glad he's not having to face jail time. I am happy about that. But it is just very unfortunate that this lying ex-girlfriend of his did not get any type of punishment. Like, can we look at the fact that she was hitting him? In the video, you see her hitting him. You see her being the aggressor. And him holding her back was to tell her, yo, chill out. But did she chill out? No. And sorry, her skin is super fragile. Her skin is super fragile that when he pushed her again, he didn't push her, but when he just held her assertively against the wall to tell her to stop, she got a little bruised. But no, I really don't believe that he did anything to hurt her. I think what he did was restrained her. I think he restrained her from continuously hitting him. That's what it was. And he was concerned for her health and her overall well-being because he tried contacting her and she was hard to reach. And he knows who she is because he's been with her for quite some time. He knows her tendencies and how sometimes she likes to be dramatic and play with her life. And because he cares for her, that's why he decided to call the police to have them do a welfare check. But it was at that moment when he fucked up. It was at that moment. Because he is still a black man dating a white woman who's his fragile, Emmett Till victim-ass white woman. So, I'm sorry, Jonathan Majors. I'm sorry that you had this experience. I mean, at this point, I don't know how many cautionary tales these black men need to have to stay away from these white women. Hello? Is the mic on? How many times do we need to see these stories? And Omari Hardrick, I'm waiting for you to leave your white wife. Hello, ghost. Ghost. Yes, I'm bringing your ass into it. When I found out his wife looked the way she looked, I was like, oh. Okay. But you know, love is love. Let me stop doing that. Recently, I stopped hating our interracial relationships. So there's growth. There's growth. I, too, have grown in this topic. But no, I'm glad he's not with the white woman anymore. Shout out to Jonathan Majors. He is now with and has been with Megan Good for a little bit now. They look cute from the beginning. I was in support of them. I know Megan Good got a lot of slack for it. Like, oh, why would she be in the same room with him? Why would she take pictures with this man knowing what he's accused of? And it's like, y'all, shut the fuck up. She's standing by this man. As she should, because boom, the evidence proved that what? He was right. He was not the aggressor. He was not the one holding her down and beating her up. No, she was the one, especially since there's evidence that supports it, that we see, evidence that we see. There's also testimonials that we see of her. Well, of the driver from the car that they were in, he recounted the moment and was like, yeah, she was the aggressor. She was the one hitting him and being physically aggressive. So, child, you know, and so it is. At this point, I'm glad that he is not facing any jail time. I'm glad that he's with a black woman right now. And, you know, and so it is. Let's talk about Jerrod Carmichael. Okay. I remember I used to watch his show back in the day when that show was out. The Carmichael show was hilarious. Okay. It was like a traditional, refreshing sitcom. That's what it was. Let's see. Yeah, it came on in 2015. It only lasted two seasons, but it was profound. I thought it was very funny. I liked all of the actors on the show. They did a great job. It was a really good show. This was before he was gay, or before he came out the closet. Obviously, he was always gay, as he says. But this is before he came out. And you know what? I know this is going to sound homophobic, but I must. I'm looking at the show right now. I did not know the character. There was a character on the show named Maxine. Hello? Hi. Oh, pretty girl. That's pretty cool. I guess that was his girlfriend on the show, or his love interest. It seems like she is. She's actually I like her work. She was in the show called, is it Harlem? She's in one of those shows, either Harlem or the other one, or Girls. I think it's called, not Girls. It's, hold on, I'm getting annoyed. I always have to find out what I'm talking about. Let me see if I could fill it up. But Run the World. Yeah, Run the World. And that show got canceled only after 2 years. I really liked it. It was cute. Anyway, so he should have stayed in the closet. Gerard Carmichael should have stayed in the closet ever since he came out. And initially he did like a soft launch with his sexuality. First he was like, I'm just bisexual. I just kind of like men. No. It's actually much more than that. I am a full-blown... I was about to say it, but I don't have that sensor, that bleep. I don't have that yet. So let me see if I can figure out how to do that, because I will be saying the word. But you know what I mean. Okay, it's what they say in London, but it's not a slur. It's what they say in London for cigarettes. Okay, he's a full blown. So, he's fully gay. This whole like idea of I'm bisexual. Okay, I mean, can men really be? Let's chat. That's a whole other topic. Anyway, he's under fire currently because of his joke about slave play. Sorry, my nose is itchy because I'm still like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like under the weather. Excuse me. So he has a joke about, he's a comedian, by the way. Am I not clear? I don't know if I set it up that way. He's a comedian. He had this sitcom. It only lasted for 2 seasons, but it was a really good sitcom because a lot of people obviously still reference it. That's how you know it's still good. That's how you know it was a good piece of work, that people are still talking about it. And I watched it when I was younger, so I remember how much I enjoyed it. He's a comedian. He had several specials. But he's the type of comedian where it's like he's not always funny. He's just like philosophical with it, like very reflective. But he doesn't have like a lot of punchlines per se. He does have good jokes. And there's been times when he has made me laugh. But he's not like, I don't know. It just depends on what he wants to do with the joke and how he delivers it. So it's just very interesting. Anyway, he's also in the movie called Poor Things that I watched recently. I talked about that in a couple of episodes ago. So he is getting backlash for his slave play joke. And he says this joke on his reality show that's on HBO. It's called Gerard Carmichael's reality show. And in this reality show, there's a moment where he's doing stand-up and he shares this joke. Also in this reality show, he is being very open, very honest, very transparent about his sexual fantasies and his advances on men and how he seeks sex, yet he's not being honest with his partner about the non-monogamous lifestyle that he wants to have. And it's just very, it's very alarming to watch the frequency and how much sex he's having with strangers, with complete strangers. So he says here, and I quote, "I sometimes joke to him." And by the way, Gerard Carmichael is a Black man. Let me just make that very clear. He's a Black man, and he's referring to a white boyfriend of his. Okay? So he often dates, you know, sleeps with white men. It's whatever. He says here, quote, "I sometimes joke to him that our relationship is like that of a slave and a master's son who, like, teaches me how to read by candlelight," the comedian says. And then he then says, yeah, he groans too because he's a good person. He says, he doesn't like that fucking joke. I like that joke. That's my burden. I think that shit's hilarious. So a lot of people are finding issue with this because it's like, why would you... like, why do you have this as a fetish? Why is this a kink of yours? Why do you find that to be hot and sexy to play the role of a slave while your white boyfriend plays the role of your master, your massa? You know, this has been a conversation that I've heard sporadically of, you know, kinks and fetishes and how we shouldn't kink shame. Now, I think sometimes shaming should be allowed. You know, sure, maybe you like feet, but that's not a big deal. But for something like this, I think this is definitely shameful. Like, what are we, what are we talking about? I remember watching this YouTube video of this white podcaster I would tune into oftentimes. And he talks about how when he hooked up with Black women, he would say the N-word. And not just like the N-word, you know, the N-word that Black people say, the N-word with the E-R at the end. And he likes to say it. He likes to be called that, actually. And he's like, in the way that he's telling us the story, he's so turned on. He's like, yo, I love that shit. I love that shit. And I'm like, what? And he's saying this on his podcast. He's being very transparent and open. That's why I love podcasts. Like, you are just, if you listen, you really get to learn about a person's makeup and what gets them going. I love podcasts. Shout out to podcasters. But anyway. Yeah, some kinks need to be shamed. Some kinks need to be shamed. So he's saying this. He's doing this on his on the stage during his stand-up. And a lot of people are giving him flack for that or slack for that. Which one is it, flack or slack? Anyway, and they're just calling him out on it. They feel like it's inappropriate that someone called him a self-hating narcissist. The fact that he has a platform to spew this mess makes him a danger to the Black queer community. A lot of people are upset. Understandably so. But here's the thing. He's also a comedian, right? So who's to say he's telling the truth and nothing but the truth? You know, I don't think every joke a comedian says on stage is the actual 100% truth. I think sometimes it could be embellished. It could be done in a way to spark conversation and, you know, ruffle your feathers. But who's to say he's really doing this? Actually, I do believe that he is really doing this, to be honest with you. I really do think that he is a type because of just how raunchy he is, especially on this reality show. I haven't watched it. Not sure if I would, but I've heard people's account of it, and it's just not my content. It's not something that I want to watch and indulge in. It's not for me. So, you know, God bless him. If he wants to be called a slave and be treated as such by his white boyfriend, who's his massa, I mean, I guess it is what it is. What you do in your bedroom shouldn't have anything to do with me. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. Hey, did you like the video? Liking the video helps support my content. It helps support me in so many ways. So please make sure you are liking this video on YouTube. Please make sure you are subscribed on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I encourage you to please leave a positive review on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm thanking you in advance, and I'll check in with you next time. Peace.